Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Mark Murphy, and he's one of the world's greatest and hippest jazz vocalists performing today. He has everything one could wish for, a great swinging feeling, taste, and a special quality of sound and feeling that definitely spells jazz. And I know that everybody says, you're the hippest guy around, and I know what hip is, and you know what hip is, but if you've ever been asked to explain it?
Yes, I'm afraid I have. Like, what is a jazz singer, you know, too, but I don't know. It's Harry the Hipster is no longer with us, so he can't be any help, but I suppose when you get it all together and tie it up, and then you call the ribbon hip.
I'm dying to hear you sing a song, and I know that in this song you're going to definitely demonstrate what hip is.
Well, let's do that wonderful little standard, Sometimes I'm Happy. It's also a demonstration for singers who can't sing half tones. And joining us is?
Sean Smith on bass. Your bassist.
Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. I never mind the rain from the sky, as long as I have your love in my eye. Sometimes I hate you, sometimes I love you, but when I hate you, it's because I love you. That's how I am, so what can I do? I'm happy when I'm with you.
Boy, that wasn't hip. I don't know what is.
Well, hip means ready, fully prepared, right?
Yeah.
This is the hardest music to get all together because there's so much you have to know and feel and be able to express, because that means you can't really express it until you tear the walls down.
Or until you're doing it sometimes, yeah, yeah. Actually. When you're actually doing it, it comes out differently from what might be in your head at that minute.
Completely. That's what drives people nuts about us, I think. Well, in that melody, like say, I was talking about half tones, about this. You know, do you know how many singers can't sing a half tone chromatic scale?
I never thought about it.
Ask them sometime. The guy put the half tones in Sometimes I'm Happy. Sometimes I'm... To give it what the English call... Well, you know, to give it cheek. To give it that little brat...
Cheeky. Make it cheeky.
Yeah, bratty attitude, you know.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm happy and sometimes I'm not. You know? So it's really a... Yeah, that's a half tone, kids. And it means something. You know, and also in that choice of notes is a psychological quality, which also dictates your tempo. It depending on who you are and how you feel things. For me, I wouldn't want to do that song any faster than how we did it.
No.
But I mean, a lot of people have played. But I mean, that to me.
But if you're singing it.
It isn't as cheeky.
No, you're right. All right. So, but then. How did you develop this style, though? I mean, it didn't just come fully born.
No.
Where were you brought up as a kid? How did you start out?
Well, I was an upstate New York choir boy. You know, my mother and father met in the Methodist Jewish choir. And then my uncle, my mother's brother, put this Art Tatum record down one day after choir was finished. And I must have been 12 or 13, and from that day on, I just was a jazz person. I think anybody can trace back the root, you know, to someplace, but that was it. And then I think the next piano player I got involved with was Errol Garner. I mean, you can't help but learn to swing from him, you know, and what would you say are the most influential piano players to everybody?
Well, certainly all my heroes were the ones you mentioned, but not only Art, but Fats Waller.
Yeah, yeah.
And James P. Johnson, Teddy Wilson, I think jazz hit me the way it did you, like listening to the Ellington Band.
Yeah.
And suddenly that was what I wanted to do and play that harmony and hear those chords. You know, we should do a song before we... There's so much to talk about. It's wonderful. But I want to hear you sing another song, and you picked one that I really love, What's New.
Yeah, okay. What's new? How is the world treating you? You haven't changed a bit. Lovely as ever.
I really love that song. And you know what? In that key, it takes on a whole different quality for me, like changing keys.
I know. What's your original?
C, but I like to do it in D flat or any other key. But I always told Bob Haggart I thought he was lazy because he just used the same melody on the bridge. He just moved it up.
Well, you know, Meredith D'Ambrosio has done like a solo. She's written a solo on it and put her own words to the solo, and she's called it You've Altered Your Attitude.
Oh, really? She's good at doing that, isn't she? Very clever things. Well, somewhere along the way, you started composing your own things.
It may have been that year, what was it, 59, I was starving in L.A. and I had nothing else to do.
So you figured you'd write something.
Just started to write. And in fact, it's interesting that... a song I wrote called Come and Get Me, which was a single for Riverside once, Capitol once, and then somebody else did it. But I mean, I wrote many versions of that song. It's kind of a, I wouldn't call it a jazz composition. It was more blues-based. But I think maybe that might be what I'm trying to upgrade now, is just the writing of songs. And because it's such a thrill, not only to do them yourself the first time, like this one we're going to do now where Sean wrote the melody and I wrote the lyric.
Oh, what are you going to do now? What is that?
Song for the East, title tune for my new album.
Oh, wonderful.
But the first time I sang it with all the elements going, the choir was in, they hooked it on to the tape thing from that. I mean, it was like Niagara Falls. I mean, I just went to pieces after I'd completed it.
But I can imagine.
But you know, the whole creation thing is it goes very deep in a person. You know,
it's wonderful to hear your own things done a certain way,
or to hear somebody else do them. That's also a thrill.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, I can't wait to hear this one because this is going to be no choir today, but you and Sean are going to do this. So, and it's called
Tema para los Gansos, which is Song for the Geese. I wrote the words about a beautiful situation with some Canadian geese that happened in my youth.
Sounds wonderful.
Child, that was me. Saw two geese long ago on a bay at dusk. They'd arrive unannounced. A hush fell as we would walk. They'd glide side by side, as partners for life, we would guess. From Canada's space to our bay, and then fly home with a meaning's design of a line in the sky, and the love we would learn from their flight.
You know, that song, Song of the Geese, it's a very evocative thing, and it's funny because I just love those Canadian geese.
Yeah. And you've seen that movie where the guy gives his daughter some geese, some tame geese, and
yes,
she teaches them to fly like the wild geese?
I saw that.
It's
wasn't
gorgeous.
It? Isn't it? Oh,
yeah.
God. And they fly over my house quite often, and they have that wild cry.
And the funny thing is that Sean has an emotional family memory from geese with his family also, as I did. This is an allegory of what happened when I was a kid upstate New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it really comes across. I thought maybe I'd do one of my tunes for you, which doesn't have really such an evocative thought to it, but it's a kind of a dreamy kind of a thing that I wrote a while ago. It's called Willow Creek. You think I could play that for you?
Yeah.
It's funny. It has a lyric, and I was sort of trying to chase you with this thing, so I want you to hear it anyway.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.